landmark episode today on Podyssey. We talk here about legacy all the time. Well, if there was a brief for today's show, we have Northeast nailed it. In an age where football owners carry the burden of selfishness and uncaring, today's guest is regional to the core. Welcome Whiteley's Way legend, Jeff Thompson, chairman of South Shields. How are you, Jeff?
I'm well, Pete. Thank you very much for that introduction. Thank you.
We love a good introduction. And to be fair, you have been guests on our podcast before, so you know that intro was coming. But it's a fair introduction to someone who is regional to the core, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'd like to think so. You're right. I mean, I'm a South Shields lad by birth and by education, and then South Tyneside, you know, South Shields and Jarrow, if you like. And, you know, I went to university in the northeast, both Sunderland and then Newcastle University. I've had my businesses up here in the northeast, although I've travelled extensively, but I've always been based in the northeast and I still live in South Tyneside. So, yeah, I guess that introduction is a fair summary. I'm kind of well and truly embedded in the northeast.
It's more than a fair summary. Listen, for our listeners, and there are plenty, and just to give us a little plug on Podyssey as well, we're talking about in the Middle East, in the MENA region, in the USA, Spain, Portugal, all around the region. So I think it's only fair that we chart your journey. So can you share with us the sort of pivotal moments that led you to your involvement with South Shields FC, a massive club in the Northeast, by the way, and we talk about that quite realistically because they are a huge, huge club with what's going on with non-league clubs. It's been made famous, we'll talk about that later, in Wales. But from its struggling state to the current thriving club that you've got, how did that all come about, Jeff?
Well, I suppose the very first step was I used to go and see South Shields play at our old ground at Simonside Hall when I was a young lad. My late father and my late uncle used to take me along. So I've always sort of known about the club and, you know, given my earlier comment about my South Shields sort of upbringing and my background, you know, it's always been something I'm well aware of, if you like. But in truth, Pete, I hadn't realised the predicament the club were in back in 2015. And it's worth commenting on, you know, if you look at the heritage of the club, you know, we were originally founded back in 1888. So, you know, a very well-established club, right up until 1930, playing in the Football League, beating the likes of Chelsea and Man United, you know. So we've got that great pedigree in history, which perhaps people don't fully understand and appreciate. And very sadly, in 1930, the club went bust and moved to Gateshead. And then very unfortunately, it happened again in 1974. The old ground that I referred to, that I used to watch them at Simonside Hall, ended up being sold for housing. And again, for the second time, the club moved to Gateshead. So my involvement, you know, more recently was in 2015. I hadn't appreciated the club were operating there and playing their football down in Peterlee. We were basically homeless. We'd been exiled from our old ground. And we were playing in front of, you know, a handful of diehard supporters, you know, typical, well, average Gates were around 70 back then. So, you know, some of the committee lads tell me the story about how desperate they were to keep the club alive, you know, selling cans of lager just to raise a bit of money at the gate so that they could pay the officials. And we were languishing, unfortunately, down in the Northern League Division 2 and really struggling. So that was my sort of first introduction, that I hadn't appreciated the dilemma the club were in. And given what I said a moment ago about its great heritage and its history and its historical importance to the town, I just didn't want it to happen for a third time. So I felt it was important to try and step in and help. And that's what I did. So, you know, long story short, but I basically brought the club home back to South Shields. I bought the ground. And in the last 9 years, we've been on a bit of a quest and a progression up the pyramid. There's been a kind of investment phase that was necessary, you know. So I've taken the club from, I say I, it's been a team effort and a lot of hard work from people around me. So I can't really take by any means all the credit, but I've been involved over that period. And as I say, we've had four promotions. Had it not been for COVID, perhaps we would have got further up the pyramid, one might argue. But I'm pleased to say we've now landed in the National League system. We narrowly missed out on promotion to the National League, or at least getting into the playoffs for the National League this season that's just finished. And, you know, I could speak at length about that journey. You know, 9 years, massive progress. We've now got the crowds back at our ground, at our home ground.
I wanted to ask about the crowds, Jeff, because you said about 70 or when I log on, we've got live score on our app, and South Shields obviously is on my favourites, and it pops up, but it puts the crowds up there. The crowds are massive. I mean, even the away games, it's incredible.
Yeah, I think we're just scratching the surface. You know, we're a town of approaching 100,000 people, 150,000 people in South Tyneside, so I think there's still some way to go in terms of attracting new fans. But yeah, you're right, Pete. I mean, we're around sort of 2,500, just under 2,500 as our average gate at home.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We've got a capacity of over 4,000. We've got a ground grading to satisfy National League, and we've got plans to make sure that the ground can satisfy the EFL requirements. So we've got a very clear plan to sort of continue our progression, and I'm sure the town will continue to back it, you know. And that's the acid test, you know, making sure that the fans, yes, turn up, but they back the club in other ways, you know, through sponsorship, season ticket sales, merchandise. So, yeah, we've had a good run at it. We're very well supported. And actually, up until this season, we've always had the highest gates in every league we've played in. This season in National League North, there are a couple of other big clubs like Scunthorpe and others. So, but nevertheless, we're still one of the best supported clubs in the league.
You talk about Scunthorpe. I mean, they're ex, you know, pro clubs. So, I mean, obviously, you know, a big following. But it does let our listeners understand a little bit about the standing of South Shields. A big question for me, because obviously I'm from the North Tyneside area, but it doesn't distract the whole of the Northeast getting behind the club, does it? I mean, you know, obviously we talk about the likes of Sunderland, Newcastle and Middlesbrough. Do you find, Jeff, that you get a mix of fans coming to cheer along the Mariners as well?
Yeah, absolutely, Pete. I mean, it's probably the only club in the Northeast where you can have a Newcastle fan stood next to a Sunderland fan and enjoying a game of football without any animosity, you know. And it's true, you know. That's not just a sort of convenient comment. It's absolutely true. We sit equidistant between Sunderland and Newcastle. Obviously, yep. Newcastle now, you know, the richest football club in the world, and Sunderland, you know, all right, it's had its challenges, but you know, very very well supported club. And we're sitting, as I say, directly between them. So our fans, I think we're everybody's second favourite, you know, favourite club. But equally, we've got our own core fans who are South Shields through and through. And, you know, we welcome a lot of Sunderland and Newcastle fans to games when their teams are playing away.
Was there a new stand recently, Jeff? Something that, you know, I mean, I looked at that, and obviously I follow it on social media, and I follow the amazing Facebook page. I love it, and it's so open that the fans could get on there, they have a chat and they do this and that. But I looked at the sort of opportunities to the stand looks amazing. I mean, there's well documented troubles at the moment about Gateshead, which I'm going to touch on later. But as far as South Shields go, I mean, stadium wise, it's top of the bill, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I mean, I mentioned a moment ago the journey we've been on over the last 9 years, and all right, I talk about promotions and progress into the National League system. Yep. But what I didn't say was, you know, you've got to make the right investment decisions along that period and invest in the infrastructure. So, you know, we're a club, we've got no debt, we own our we own the freehold, so we own our own ground, so we don't have the challenges, sadly, that Gateshead have faced. So there's no landlord that owns the ground. It's owned by the football club, it's owned by us. And you know, the infrastructure, you know, over a period of 9 years, you know, we've got our own 3G training facility. We've invested heavily in the sort of fans' experience with new bars and new facilities. And the new stand that you mentioned, you know, we opened that just under 2 years ago. That was a significant investment. It's all relative, but, you know, it's well over £3 million that was invested in building that new stand. So we've now got some corporate boxes. We've got new bar, new club shop, new boardroom, new toilet facilities. So the whole purpose of it, and it might be obvious for fans perhaps who kind of watch Premier League football and have, if you like, the luxury of those fantastic facilities. But at our level of football and into the National League and into the EFL, it's often a very different story. And I'd like to think South Shields now are very well placed, you know, with some fantastic facilities. The match day experience for our fans is good. and improving. And, you know, we've got, as I said, we've got a very clear plan to get that ground grading that's needed for EFL so that the club can continue to progress through the pyramid.
I'm gonna say it here because you're not going to, but literally, if you think about that, you're doing this and prepping, which not many owners do, by the way, in Chairman, that they're prepping for the future, knowing that you're going to get there, and it's hugely commendable. I've got to ask, though, specific challenges did you face revitalising South Shields, and how do you overcome them? Because obviously everyone's got an opinion, which are all valid, but at the end of the day, it's your club. So, you know, how did you find that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've talked about the facilities and the infrastructure. I've talked about, obviously, how many fans turn up on match day. But one of the other challenges was, you know, we can't rely entirely on our match day revenues to build a sustainable football club. So what we've been doing is, over a number of years now, developing other revenue streams, so particularly our academies. We've got a Futures Academy in partnership with the local college at Mortimer. So that's for boys and girls aged 11 through 16 years of age. So that's, you know, an important revenue stream and equally an important pathway for young talent to potentially get into our first team. So 11 to 16 academy. We've equally got our sort of elite academy, our 16 to 19 age group, that we've got a relationship, a long-standing relationship with Sunderland College. So again, important revenue streams and an important pathway for you know, the development of young talent. And a lot of those lads from our 16 to 19 academy have and do still enter our first team environment and play for our first team. But also my point is that, you know, that challenge of trying to make sure the club's sustainable by developing those additional revenue streams is important. And a more recent example is we launched last September. We signed the contract last spring, 23, and in September 23 we brought our first international students to the club. We're a full-time professional club, which is important to emphasize. So what happens is we now, with our relationship with Sunderland University, we're attracting international students who can continue their education either now at undergraduate level or postgrad, doing an MBA or various master's options. So there's different curricular choices for the student. But then they carry on their football development under a professional environment at South Shields. So that's, if you like, that whole academy development. Those things clearly don't happen overnight. You know, you can't just sort of wake up one morning and think, right, we're going to have an academy. It takes years and years to grow that and to create the credibility that you need to attract that talent. So I'm very proud of the efforts of Lee Picton and others within the organisation who've built that. Lee being our sporting director, and he's got a great team of people working with, you know, for him and with him in that capacity. So that's an example of the challenge, you know, because if you rely entirely on just match day revenues, it's very difficult. You know, if you think about it, not many businesses are really open on a Saturday and maybe open one day a week for an evening match and then hope to, you know, have a sustainable business model. It's incredibly difficult. So that's what we've done. You know, we've built those additional revenues. And obviously, we're well supported, as I said, but also, you know, sponsorship income, merchandise income, non-match day events. We host a number of sportsmen's dinners and other events, have a number of sort of legends from Newcastle and Sunderland who will come along and talk. And so that's just an example of, you know, trying to drive those additional revenue streams so that we build a club that's sustainable and has a long-term sustainable future.
And it is, by the way, because there's been some fantastic events and I look at it and it probably goes hand in hand with the new stand and what you have. But looking at the after dinners, when possibly World Cups and Euros are on and you become a venue, you know, not just a Sunday lunch as well. You know, you become that family venue. Listen, I've got to touch on it is all about a personal journey and that's what we're going to go through. You've had your own battles and losses. It's been a particularly difficult time and it's come up with and it's well versed in the media, so I wanted to touch on it. You say that now is the time to sort of hand the baton on and we'll get on to who you feel is going to be that person. But it's time for South Shields to move on, isn't it?
Yeah, very sadly, it's kind of bittersweet, really, Pete. Because the irony is, when I now look at the football club from a P&L point of view, and think about all of the infrastructure investments that I've touched on, you know, the club is so well placed, and the forecasts we've now got in place for the growth of our international academy and the growth of other revenues, you know, the club is incredibly well placed. So I, you know, if I was sort of 20 years younger and my health was in better order, there's no chance that you'd have to drag me out of the club, quite frankly.
And I know that.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm emotionally attached to it, given my South Shields and North East background. But I think, you know, everything, I've said this before, but, you know, everything has a beginning, a middle and an end. And my tenure, I think, at the club is nearing that end point, only because of my age, but predominantly my health, Pete. So, you know, I was diagnosed with cancer just over a year ago. I had surgery last March. I'm still being tested regularly, and I hope and pray that I'm through it. There's no guarantee, unfortunately, that is the case. But without sort of labouring that point too much, you know, I think that diagnosis, sort of everybody would deal with those things differently. But for me, it's made me think, hang on a minute, you know, I'm 62 years old. I've had this cancer scare. You know, I've got my family, children, grandchildren, my wife, of course. And I think maybe it would be quite irresponsible for me not to plan for the club's future and think about, obviously, my other responsibilities outside of football. It would be really irresponsible because, you know, if something does happen to me and, you know, my health does deteriorate further, I've got to make sure the club's in the right condition, in the right hands. So it's probably accelerated. I didn't think about that, you know, until I had the diagnosis, but I think now is the right time. But I'm, you know, I must stress, you know, there's no fire sale. The club's in good order. And what I want to do is make sure I find the right individual or group of individuals who understand the journey that we've been on and that will, by the way, thoroughly enjoy the involvement that they'll have. It's been a fantastic experience for me. And people will thoroughly, whoever it might be, will thoroughly enjoy the experience. But unfortunately for me, as I say, bittersweet because the club is in such a great position. But unfortunately, it's time for me to hand the baton on, as you say. And what I didn't say earlier is, very sadly, you know, I lost my father a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And maybe to reinforce the point even further, you know, my younger brother very tragically passed away this year. So, yeah, so it's the right time.
It is, and again, you're thinking, Jeff, of you just spoke there. I mean, you're talking about you're putting the club first, and as you always have, I have to say. I'm going to ask you to elaborate though on, and this is where, you know, set the ground rules for people that may be listening and football fans in general. You're going to obviously have a huge criteria. I can imagine. I've seen sales of clubs go at top level in Spain, in Portugal, in the UK. But I'm coming back to South Shields here. You're going to have potential buyers of the club, but you're going to drive a hard bargain. I mean, what do you want from new owners? I mean, how can they be the Jeff Thompson of Whiteley's Way?
Well, I think the first thing I'd say is I'm very realistic. And again, I apologise, Pete, for the emotion a moment ago. But I'm very realistic about, you know, what needs to happen next. And as the realism is, you know, I've invested a certain sum of money over the last 9 years.
Yep.
I'm not expecting a return on that necessarily. You know, my point is, and that's not a naive statement, it's that I didn't do it for that purpose. You know, I was trying to build something for my hometown and for the football club and for its long-term longevity, if you like. Obviously, that said, you know, we own the freehold, we've got our separate training ground, we've got all the infrastructure that I talked about earlier. So we're in a good place and we've got some fantastic facilities and we've got a very clear plan to move forward. So there is some value there, and obviously I would like to realise some value. But coming back to your question, I think it's important that I find the right individual or group of individuals who understand the journey that the club's been on, understand its heritage and its history. As I said, will enjoy the journey that they can then take the club on. You know, it's approaching its 100th anniversary of when the club was last in the EFL. So I always harboured this lovely idea of getting the club back into the EFL within that 100-year window. So it's those sorts of, not stories, but those sort of ambitions that I'd like a new owner to understand. But it's not blind, naive ambition. You know, it's based on a solid foundation. All of the infrastructure investments that I've made, you know, you don't have to repeat those things. You know, that spade work's been done. So the individuals that I think I'm looking for are predominantly people who are aware of the heritage of the club, understand that, understand the importance of our role in the community, will enjoy the experience of moving the club forward. Yes, they'll run it professionally, as I've tried to do. I've got a very good management team within the business, within the club.
So great, you know, management team.
Yeah, because I think, you know, the new owner, it's not like if I retired or, you know, my health deteriorates or I sell, all of those things, that suddenly the club's got a vacuum. You know, it hasn't, because, you know, the management team at the club run the business. Yes, I'm there to support them, but a new owner will have the benefit of that experience. You know, a management team who know what they're doing, who've been on this journey with me for quite a number of years, and therefore they don't have to sort of think about suddenly dropping in a whole new set of faces because, you know, they think that the club can't be run, if you like. So that's a bit of a sort of convoluted point I'm making, but it's firstly then criteria around understanding what the club represents, the journey, its history, the projections, where it could become, the excitement that represents. But it's also understanding the quality of the management team, embracing the management team, and really, as I say, enjoying the journey that they could then take the club on.
Jeff, if you look at football in general now, I mean, as an owner, you must think, oh, it doesn't help. But, you know, there are so many owners that come in now that are questioned, and you look at it, this has got to make your selection process a little harder when it's so special to you. And I look at, I'm not going to name clubs, but, you know, even in the region, in the past, that have had owners that possibly haven't understood the value of the region. It's got to make that. It's got to make that little harder for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, I think the process is, you know, whilst a buyer might want to come along and sort of get to know the club and do their own due diligence, I'll be firmly doing the same on them. And it's not just about money. You know, it's not about who's got the biggest check. It's not that at all. Is there the right fit? And, you know, again, have I got confidence in that group or that individual that can take the club forward in the way that I've described? And, you know, that's the kind of slide rule that I'll be using to try and assess any new buyer. So it's not just, you know, highest bid. It's actually, you know, is it the right fit? Is this the right person? And that's quite a difficult, you know, it's quite difficult to sort of be prescriptive and list that specification of what you're looking for. But
sure.
I think, you know, it's about chemistry. It's about the importance of that strategic fit, and also the sort of that understanding. The individual needs to understand the exciting journey the club's been on and embrace it. And interestingly, Pete, you know, we've had already a number of approaches, and I'm in some discussions currently, and you know, we're having some great conversations with a few parties. But, you know, that's still early stage, so we'll see where that leads.
Good luck to them passing the Jeff test, that's all I can say. Listen, if I was... I'm going to put myself in that role. You just said, you know, you mentioned the importance of not just finding the highest bidder, but the right person. So, you know, if I came to you and said, here I am in the UAE, Jeff, and I've got a consortium behind me, and I'm looking at South Shields. What's your first sort of response to me? What are you going to say? I mean, you're going to say, oh, right, Pete, you've got the money. What's your next question to me as the consortium leader?
Well, I think it's a series of questions. It's about getting to know the individual or the group. You know, there's a flow of information that needs to be shared between both parties, really. You know, I'd like to immerse them in that the journey that I've been on, all of the things that I've touched on today. But I'd also like to understand their background and experience. You know, I'd have an exchange of views about how they would move the club forward. And I don't mean that as some kind of real...
But it's crucial, isn't it? I mean, it's any business.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't mean it to be a sort of hard-nosed analytical conversation. It's more about chemistry and nuance and getting to know the buyer and for the buyer to get to know the club and me and the journey that we've been on. So I'd like to think there's some science to that process, but it's also about, as I say, chemistry, feel.
Passion.
Passion, absolutely. So yeah, I think that sounds a little bit amorphous. I don't think it is. I think it's just a process of getting to know one another. That's really what it's about.
Something else that is on the CV of your club. It's a huge buzzword in the game at the moment and in life in general is sustainability. You've got that at Shields, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, historically the club has been loss-making, but I've gone about that knowingly because we were in this kind of investment phase. You know, you can't imagine the sort of, this is a bit of a sort of silly, naive point, but if you woke up one morning and you'd acquired South Shields back in 2015 and we're playing in the Northern League Division 2, and you said to yourself, right, I want to try and get this club into the EFL at some point, then quite clearly there's a significant investment phase because it wasn't oven ready. It wasn't at the point where its infrastructure was in place to satisfy ground grading requirements, et cetera, et cetera. So there's an inevitable period of investment. And so historically, you know, I've gone through that process willingly and knowingly. And equally, I've invested heavily in, you know, people, the playing squad. You know, we had the agonising problems during COVID where, you know, we were the first season of COVID, we were sort of 12 points clear with 9 games left and the season was declared null and void. And I mention it because it meant that we had then thereafter, you know, we were almost out of Northern Premier Division and into the National League system, only to be thwarted by COVID. And then we had a couple of more years of near misses. So my point there is that I decided that I would invest significantly in the playing squad to almost guarantee us an opportunity to get into the National League system. That was an important watershed to get there, but it needed investment. So my point is, you know, historically loss-making, but because of that investment phase, that need to invest in infrastructure and playing squad, we're now at that important watershed. And as I said earlier, Pete, you know, we've got now additional revenues that are growing significantly year on year. So the club's in a great place financially, but it hasn't been easy. You know, it's been 9 years of hard work.
As an owner, I've got to ask this because, do you know what? We don't get the questions and answers from, you know, we all watch the mainstream. We see our club owners, we see our coaches. Jeff, just how difficult is it when you think, I need a change here, management on the field? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you've supplied the tools for everything off the pitch as well as on the pitch. But, you know, when you need to go to that next level, is it tough as a fan? I mean, or does owner mode kick in and you go, right, look, this is next level now. We need to change the playing staff, the management block. How does that work for you?
Yeah, you're right, Pete. I mean, these moments are difficult. It's happened a few times for me. We've had situations, for example, with Graham. I mean, Graham Fenton was our joint manager and then sole manager for a period of time. He was instrumental, along with Graham, in the development of our first academy, the 16 to 19 academy I touched on earlier. But we reached a point, sadly, with Graham where perhaps results weren't going his way.
It's just a journey, though, isn't it, Jeff? Is it? Sorry to put in, but it, it there's no sentiment. You've got to look at that next phase of the journey, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was my point. I wasn't trying to pinpoint Graham particularly. It's just an example, you know. It happened recently with Julio. Two great lads, great individuals who've done an awful lot for the club historically. You know, Graham in his role as joint manager and building the academy with Lee. And then, obviously, Julio coming back to the club, he had a period where he was obviously player and captain and, you know, took us to Wembley with a squad and we won the FA Vars. But then, you know, he came back after a time in Argentina, had come back to the UK, joined us as manager. And again, a very difficult decision. Christmas just gone. That unfortunately, it was the right time to say goodbye. These things are difficult, but you've got to be analytical about it and somewhat...
Do you struggle with that as a fan as well?
Yeah, a little bit. I think you've got to separate, you know, I mean, you know what, football, you know very well, football is all about, you know, everyone's got an opinion and our fans, you know, I welcome their opinion and their comments.
But too many.
Yeah, yeah, but ultimately, all I would ever say is whatever I do and any decisions I make are always, always in the best interests of the football club. So there's no personal agenda. It's always about what's right for the club. And, you know, in any business decision, you don't get every single one of them right, whether it's the manager or whether it's other decisions along the way. But you do your very best and, you know, you collect the facts, you collect all of the information that you need and you make a decision accordingly and you hopefully get, you know, 7 or 8 out of 10 of them right.
I'm going to give you a legend status here, as in South Shields could sign any player to come in this season. Could be from any period, 70s, 80s, 90s. Could be in the midfield, centre-half, centre-forward. Who would you pick as a favourite? Who would you love to see in Shields as a legend that would come in and play?
As a past player or a current one?
Past or current.
Wow. Well, there's a bit of a shopping list. I mean, the first thing to say, of course, is that we have a certain budget, so... they'd have to come along.
Budget's out. I've sorted that, Jeff. Don't worry. I'm his agent. You can have whoever you want.
Well, yeah. I think that's a very interesting one. I'd have to go for a couple of Sunderland and a couple of Newcastle legends. Maybe, you know, Beardsley, Supermac. Jordan Henderson, Lee Cattermole. And Pickford, you know, so, you know, that would be a decent side, wouldn't it?
The last three that you mentioned there, I can see them at Shields. I can certainly see Jordan Henderson at Shields.
Well, I know Brian, his dad, fairly well, and I keep knocking on the door, so who knows, who knows?
Well, we'd love to see that. Listen, I'm down to the last two questions, and I'm trying to eke them out because I don't want it to end, but the legacy, and this is what the podcast's all about, the legacy that you hope to leave behind with your tenure, and honestly, it really upsets me to say it, but it is a fact. Regardless of who takes over, what's the legacy?
Well, the legacy is, you know, a sustainable football club, an important part of the community, a club that I think will be playing in the EFL. You know, I keep repeating some statistics, but, you know, we're a big town, a big conurbation. We're smack bang between Sunderland and Newcastle. I think there's room for us to compete at that level. But a club that's, you know, successful, making a contribution to its community. You know, we've got our charitable foundation that I haven't touched on. We do an awful lot of work within the community. So a club that's adding value in that sense, competing successfully in the Football League and with a significant following of fans. And back to the point about business model, a sustainable club that's profitable and that's investing in its future.
Okay, so your dedication to the club, and it's the last question. So, Jeff, you can relax after this one. What message would you like to convey to the fans and the supporters and all everyone who's been involved with South Shields along the way as you navigate this transition? What's the message?
The message to fans is that I'm going to act very responsibly, and that we're going to find the right owner. There's, as I keep repeating, no fire sale, no rush. We'll do it the right way. And I'm very confident there are people out there in the world who will see this. All right, we're not a Premier League club, so there might be people who think, people with certain budgets might think, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. But frankly, we can find buyers. There'll be people out there who will understand the heritage, history, passion, journey we've been on. I'm going to take my time to find that person or group of people. They're going to enjoy thoroughly the investment decision they make. And for the fans, they're going to enjoy that new ownership in the knowledge that, I've found the right people that can take the club forward. So it's going to be very considered and, we're going to go about it in the right way.
And to add to that, though, it's massively important to the fans who have the greatest respect for you that if it's come from Jeff Thompson and, it's like, here's our new owner and this is what we do and this is why we've done it. I think that's a massive part as well. I look at football clubs that have maybe washed their hands and said, yeah, there's a new owner. And I look at certain clubs that, and the fans are like, well, okay, who've we got? So the fans can guarantee that the identity and what they want for South Shields is going to be right through you. Hopefully it'll be seamless.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I've said to the couple of people that we're currently talking to that if they wanted me around for a period of time during that transition, I want to make sure that the transition's managed effectively. But certainly there's nothing to worry about. We're going to find the right parties, the right individual or group, and we're going to work with them and we're going to make sure that transition's seamless. And I'm very confident that whoever that party might be, that we're going to land in a good place and the club will move forward successfully.
Absolutely fantastic. Jeff Thompson, by the way, our latest guest on Podyssey and possibly just such a great, great heartfelt interview. The destiny of South Shields is up for grabs. And let me tell you, given today's world in football, it sounds like a legacy for me as well. Thank you to Jeff Thompson.
Thank you, Pete.